Ich bin Dan von Gimmelwald und ich reise mit Rick Steves. I just said in Swiss German, I'm Dan from Gimmelwald and I travel with Rick Steves. Ich bin Dan von Gimmelwald und ich reise mit Rick Steves.
Tucked away in the far corner of the Balkans, Albania, North Macedonia and Kosovo might truly be the last unknown area of Europe. The region that's usually overlooked or avoided by most tourists, is quietly opening up to tourism these days. I think these three little countries deserve another look, and not only for the lack of crowds and the easy on the wallet appeal, but they have a tapestry of cultural influences, stunning scenery, and friendly people, and you're likely to be glad that you made time for a look at Kosovo, Albania, and North Macedonia. So, to guide us, we're joined by Stefan Bozajev from neighboring Sofia in Bulgaria. Stefan's led groups, and he knows these countries well, and he joins us right now. Stefan, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Rick, and I'm very happy that we have the chance to talk about these three little gems of Europe.
So we're going to these three countries, and I'll say the names again, because they're quite rarely known by a lot of Americans. Albania, Kosovo, North Macedonia. Tell us... Well, Albania has long been an independent country. Kosovo, North Macedonia, what is their political status today?
Well, Kosovo and North Macedonia, they're independent countries. However, 30 years ago and a little bit more, they were part of former Yugoslavia. And actually, after the secession started, North Macedonia was one of the countries that peacefully seceded from Yugoslavia. And then Kosovo. It is a relatively new country which practically gained independence as a result of the last war in former Yugoslavia.
So, Stefan, to visit these countries, do you need a visa? Are there complicated border crossings or do people just drive right across like most of Europe?
It is very easy to cross into these countries. No visa is needed for Americans, so it is so easy to go there.
Now, I remember when I rented a car a few years ago in Italy, I had to pay an extra insurance fee for the risk of car theft. And they said there was a lot of car theft relating to Albania. That indicates to me there's a lawlessness there. Why would I have to pay that extra fee on my car? And what is the situation just from a safety? What are the scams? What's the law and order situation in these countries?
Pretty much these countries these days are very safe to travel for independent travelers and organized travel alike. Practically the lawlessness was back in the 90s, in the early 2000s.
So why do you think there's so little appreciation of these countries, at least, from the American market?
Well, first of all, these countries are little. They're in the dark region of Europe, as I always say, in the troublemakers, in the Balkans, and quite often they are not on the news. Quite often you cannot hear anything about these countries. Quite often you will visit the neighboring Croatia, and you will visit Slovenia and Greece to the south, and that's easy to skip them, but actually there's so much to be seen and explored there.
I want to talk about each of these countries with you. Well, let's just go through them. We'll talk about Albania first, and then Kosovo, and then North Macedonia. What's Albania known for?
Well, Albania is definitely known for its mountains. It's situated on the Adriatic coast, just across Italy. And from those beautiful and serene beaches, it is right up in the mountains. It is the country of eagles. It's on their coat of arms. It's on their national flag. And they live up in the mountains.
So the eagles live up in the mountains.
This is at least what they say. Up in the mountains. These are our eagles here in the Balkans.
Now, Albania has had a mysterious kind of political history. I mean, they gained their independence about 110 years ago or so, 1912. They became a kingdom, then a communist dictatorship, and now a democratic republic. Talk about the politics of Albania that are unique. They had a very hardline dictatorship for a while.
Well, when the Iron Curtain spread across Europe back in the late 1940s, Albania became one of the most secretive communist countries in the world, probably equal to North Korea. They established a communist regime led by their ruthless leader, Enver Hoxha. They closed the borders, and actually in the late 1960s, it turned out that they were not friends with China. They were not friends with the USSR. So practically, they were an island in the middle of the earth.
Now, this dictator, Enver Hoxha, H-O-X-H-A, he did some amazing things. He was quite, let's say, a character. What are some of the unusual things he did during his dictatorial reign?
Well, I would definitely come up first with the bunkers. Well, they had a program to build bunkers all around, different type of bunkers. Some of them were one person, others could fit a whole regiment there.
So these were concrete military bunkers, is that right?
That's right. And you could see them, and you can even still see many of them in the cities, in the rural areas, in the mountains, across the sea, because Enver Hoxha was a paranoid. He believed that he could be easily attacked by any of his neighbors. And that was the reason to have hundreds of thousands of bunkers.
Hundreds of thousands. So when you travel around Albania today, you'll see all of these little concrete souvenirs from their communist dictator back when they were as mysterious and isolated as we think of North Korea. Stefan Bozajev is our guide on Travel with Rick Steves. He's a certified tour guide who specializes in Bulgaria and its neighbors. At Stefan's suggestion, he's helping us better appreciate the nearby nations of North Macedonia, Albania, and Kosovo. These are countries we might call the unknown Balkans because they're still emerging on the tourist map, distinct from the more crowded resort destinations up and down the Aegean. Stefan is based in Sofia, Bulgaria, and guides with Ljuba Tours. That is spelled L-Y-U-B-A. Okay, so we are in Albania, Stefan. Describe Tirana, the capital city of Albania.
Well, Tirana is probably one of the most bustling cities in the Balkans, in our part of Europe. A lot of new buildings were finished. A lot of young people are all around. And you can still see a blend of different cultures, from the fascist architecture from the 1930s, built by Italian architects, through the monstrosities of the communist regime, now preserved as museums, into bunkers, till the present-day Albania, which is young and smiling and welcoming nation.
And is it really a democracy today? What's the political feeling in Albania?
Albania definitely is a democracy today. It's a democratic country. They are members of NATO, and now they're applying to become members of the European Union. And you know, if you want to be a member of those clubs, one of the main criteria is to be a democratic country. So they are.
That's right. Hey, Stefan, let's cross the border now, and let's go to Kosovo. And I think Kosovo is interesting because it's what I thought of as Albania back when you could not go to Albania as a tourist. And of course, now you can go to Albania, but there's a lot of Albanian ethnicity in Kosovo. Can you explain who are the people that live in Kosovo, which is the small region just bordering Albania on the north, right?
Yeah, correct. Kosovo is bordering Albania to the north, northeast. And actually, when you cross the border, it will be the very same language. It will be Albanian, because the majority of the people of Kosovo, they're ethnic Albanians. However, there's a small, tiny group of Serbs, mostly in the northern counties of Kosovo, but predominantly more than 90% of the population are ethnic Albanians.
Now, Albania and Kosovo are two of the cheapest places in Europe to travel. And if you went to Kosovo, what are the cities that you would experience? What's the capital? What would be the most interesting town to put on your itinerary?
Definitely, if you go to Kosovo, you have to visit the capital because the international airport is there, the Pristina Airport. There, it's a relatively new city. You can see their Catholic cathedral dedicated to Mother Teresa, who was an ethnic Albanian. And in my view, one of the most interesting architectural gems in the Balkans is situated there. It's a Yugoslav period building of the National Library, 101 domes building with concrete, glass and steel. It's a blend of all the architectural styles in these lands. So this will be in the capital. Also there you can see the newborn monument. It's a monument that celebrates the independence of Kosovo. Or just across the street, you can see the Heroinat monument. It's a monument dedicated to more than 20,000 women who, during the war, were kidnapped and raped and tortured. And the people pay respect to those brave girls and women who easily during conflict become the first victims of the conflict.
Sounds like it has some wonderful architecture and some powerful monuments to the difficult recent history with the wars that followed the breakup of Yugoslavia. I went to a beautiful town when I was in Kosovo, Prizren, P-R-I-Z-R-E-N. And that has a very long history with the people there. Tell us about what we might find in Prizren.
Yes, Prizren is probably the most scenically located city in all of Kosovo. It's around an hour drive from the capital to get there. And it's a beautiful blend between old Ottoman architecture and mosques. And at the same time, medieval Serbian churches and monasteries preserved in the heart of the city. And on top of it, the remains of medieval fortress. It's a bustling town where even there is international film festival. There are other festivals where people simply enjoy their heritage.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Stefan Bozajev, and we're talking about the three unknown countries in Europe, Albania, Kosovo, North Macedonia. And our third visit is North Macedonia. What's North Macedonia known for?
Definitely when we talk about North Macedonia, this is the heart of the Balkans. It's a landlocked country, and it's a place often associated with Alexander the Great of the Macedon dynasty. It's a country associated with rich medieval heritage, but most remarkably, it's a country associated with some of the oldest lakes in the European continent, and these are Ohrid and Prespa lakes.
Ohrid, O-H-R-I-D. What a wonderful experience. I'll never forget going to Ohrid and a beautiful town on the lake by the same name, Ohrid. Describe the town of Ohrid.
The town of Ohrid is actually known as the town of light. It's known as the town of the 365 churches because the legend says that there used to be a church for every single day of the year. Today, it is protected by UNESCO, a beautiful old town with some Roman heritage. They have discovered remains of an amphitheater there. But most beautiful and elegant are the houses from the late 1700s and the 1800s. Whitewashed walls, red tiles on top of it, and just above the waters of Ohrid Lake.
Stefan, we're talking about North Macedonia. And I know there's been a long-standing dispute between the people of Greece and the people of former Yugoslavia and Serbians and so on about the use of the name Macedonia. What's the issue about the name Macedonia, and how is North Macedonia different from the rest of Macedonia?
Actually, to start with, Macedonia more or less is a geographical term. It's a region that today belongs to three different countries: North Macedonia, Greece, and Bulgaria. So in Greece, there's a region called Macedonia, and this is the reason why after Macedonia became an independent country in the early 1990s, the Greeks were not happy with that. They were not happy having a neighboring country with the very same name as one of their administrative regions, and till practically a few years ago, as a result of the so-called Prespa Agreement, signed on a little boat in the middle of the waters of Prespa Lake, where the two countries resolved the dispute, and this is how they come up with the name North Macedonia, describing the northern part of the whole region of Macedonia.
Okay, so in former Yugoslavia, all of what was Macedonia is now called North Macedonia, just in order to have more peace with the Greeks, who have a region also called Macedonia, right?
Absolutely.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're discovering the rewards that the underappreciated Balkan countries of Albania, Kosovo, and North Macedonia offer the curious traveler. You know, they may not appear on the top of many travelers' wish lists, and I think that's just one reason why you want to consider visiting. Our guide right now is Stefan Bozacev. Stefan's been guiding in his home country of Bulgaria for decades. He has a passion for helping travelers understand and enjoy the underrated areas of the Balkans. You can find him on Facebook at Down the Road with Stefan, and that's Stefan with an F. Stefan, I'd like to just wrap up our conversation by talking about food in each of these regions. When you're going to travel to Kosovo, to Albania, to North Macedonia, what is the best food item you should be mindful of in each of these countries?
First of all, these countries, they might look so close, they're neighboring, but at the same time, the cuisine may be different. Actually, in Albania, it's on the sea, so they have a lot of seafood on the table. At the same time, when you are up in the mountains, you shouldn't miss their stews. Nice sausages. And when we cross the border to Kosovo, the cuisine will be pretty much similar. Of course, a lot of fresh salads, tomatoes, cucumbers, different cheeses. And then the third country in North Macedonia. Well, one of the best dishes that I've had there is a bean stew called gravce tavce. You have these big beans baked into oven with some tomato sauce and onions, and it's simply delicious.
Ooh, nice. And if you want to wash it down with a local liqueur, a little fire water, what would you use? What would you drink?
All around these countries, you can find a liqueur that is very strong, and this is liqueur that is typically close to the slivovitz. So it's like a plum brandy under the name of rakı, which you can find in all of those countries.
All right. Stefan Bozacev, thank you so much for introducing us to perhaps the most mysterious and least touristed parts of Europe, Albania, Kosovo, and North Macedonia. Hope to see you there, Stefan.
Hope to see you there, Eric. Thank you. Германия, Рома, Наполивия, Италия, Нью-Йорк, бизнес, Америка, all around the world, my family. Россия, Транссибирия, 24 hours to Australia, here and there and everywhere, all around the world, my compania. Here I come, here I go.
Stefan Bozacev tells us what souvenirs he'd take home from each of these unknown Balkan countries. You can hear that with this week's show at ricksteves.com/radio. He's also on Facebook at Down the Road with Stefan. Italy's financial center is one of the largest metro areas in Europe, but Milan is not one of the first places most people plan to explore when they visit Italy. Up next, guides from Italy recommend why you should include Milano on your next visit. It's Travel with Rick Steves. Thank you.